Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by Kate.
Hi.
Matt.
Hello.
And Jason.
Hello.
We got a full house today. We are talking about 2025. I put together just some random trivia about the year, and we're going to go through that and just kind of talk about how we thought 2025 went for these questions and just for broader pop culture. But before we get into that, is there anything you've been enjoying this week? Or do you want to just at the top tell me whether or not you thought 2025 went well?
My girl is back. That's what I want to say. Lara Croft, as she lives and breathes and in her official original outfit, is back. And I could not be happier. So with Game of the Awards, they announced, Crystal Dynamics announced that they will have two games coming through Amazon Games Publishing. One is a continuation of Lara's story, only we see her, as was promised, in the Lara that we know and love. Because the reboot games from Crystal Dynamics were less reboots, as I call them, and more so seeing Lara before she came, the woman who plays for sport that we all knew and loved from the original game. So we see that continuation. But we also get something they are refusing to call a remake, although it very much is a remake of the very first Tomb Raider game. I'm really excited, primarily because the trailers focused on the campiness of the IP, on the dinosaurs that we all know Lara can fight, and the gymnastics, and more specifically, the platforming aspects of the Tomb Raiding that was sorely missed from the reboot games.
Oh yeah, because it was scripted climbing in the reboot games,
it was.
That was a very specific era of game design, looking at Uncharted, Horizon Zero Dawn, the Crystal Dynamics, Tomb Raider.
It is the stupidest loop. It is Indiana Jones births Lara Croft, Lara Croft births Nathan Drake. Nathan Drake gives us whatever the fuck combat we got.
Yep.
Combat-focused adventure we got with the Crystal Dynamics games. But I'm excited. I'm so excited. Like, I was tearing up. I was so excited.
I will say, when I saw the trailer and I saw the title and kind of like what they were doing, I was like, how is this not just a remake of the first game? But I also thought it was interesting that they're not hiding sort of, not the twist of the first game, but like that they did kind of put the big thing in the title. Because I was talking to someone who, he played the game as a kid. He never got far enough to know that it was about Atlantis.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny. That was actually one of the first times I saw Atlantis when I was little.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I played the original game when I was really, really young. So, yeah.
Nice.
Excitement. That's what I'm living for. I don't even remember what else got announced because my
brain
just
blacked out.
Lara Croft. Yes. yeah. So, that's
nice. Nice. Yeah. I saw the trailers. I was like, this is huge. I was like, and I know this is huge for Kate specifically. So
yes.
I'm sure there will be a review at some point.
Yes. Oh, and not to plug for me, but to plug for our site. If you are a My Hero Academia fan, go to butwhytho.net. We have about 4 different interviews with the entire voice cast of My Hero Academia, all the primary characters that are discussing their journeys as actors as they voice these characters for, God, what, 6-7 years at this point? Now that My Hero has officially ended. So if you're interested in seeing how My Hero has changed the lives of the people that brought your favorite character to life, you should go read them. They're great.
I did not follow anything about the Game Awards, except I did see that flute guy, and he rocked pretty hard.
Flute guy's always been there. Flute guy's become a tradition at this point.
Yeah, I realized after I watched it a few times, I recognized him from some times past, but this was, you know, he was really rocking hard. Gotta hand it to him. What else am I enjoying? I'm enjoying the New York Islanders and how they stole the first round draft pick this year and have been tearing it up as
Is
a result.
Is that hockey?
That's
yes,
hockey.
Hey!
Congrats. One of the only teams to beat the Avalanche in regulation this year so far. You know, it's been a good time to watch the New York Islanders. I also, the Criterion Channel did a whole thing the last couple of months with Hong Kong action movies, and I had not really seen most of the like big ones until this last now 2 months or so, and was going on a tear watching a bunch of both like the really like the John Woos that I had just not seen, and some Jackie Chans and some like Sammo Hung movies, but also like then was like, but also let's watch some incredibly obscure ones that only 300 people have logged on Letterboxd, and just a good time all around. Just why can't we make good action movies with consistency? Why can't we make good anything these days? I mean, I guess, but
over-reliance on special effects.
Yeah, yes.
And for Western action movies, at least.
Well, yeah,
and a lot of we'll fix it in post, so you don't commit to decisions in the moment.
And a lot of what Kate likes to talk about of how like we don't trust the actors to do the action, and we just cut constantly and refuse to actually watch them do anything cool. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there watching these guys do their thing, and I'm just like, this is unbelievable, their athleticism and the things that they are pulling off on camera without even a little bit of trying to fake it. I mean, obviously there's, you know, stunt effects that help make some kind, certain kinds of things happen with wires, but a lot of it is just them being really athletic and great.
Well, yeah. And that's like, that was like the beauty of 80s, 90s Hong Kong action, is like most of the time they didn't have enough money for like the wire to hold them up, and Jackie Chan and Michelle Yeoh were having to physically put themselves on the line. It's also why we can thank Hong Kong action and that era specifically for why we have Tom Cruise. Because he saw how they did stunts, and he's like one of the, him, Derek Kolstad, and Chad Stahelski are like the only three people still doing it like that now.
He's like, wait, so crash pads are optional? I can just do this? I can throw myself out of a building? We're like, sure, Tom, you knock yourself out.
Who needs a net when you're athletic?
Yeah, exactly.
Who needs a net when you've got the power of the Church of Scientology to protect you?
Matt, what did you enjoy?
I don't know anything. I didn't do anything.
Everybody's excited. You played in the Super Bowl.
Huh?
You played but in the Super Bowl.
But I guess for me, the big thing, I'm doing this, and then I will see everybody next year.
Yeah. That can be a thing to enjoy, that it's the end of the year.
I did my Game Awards. I did my Avatar preview. I did all my other stuff. I will see all you in, what year is it? 2027? 2026.
2026, yeah.
And we appreciate that you will not be fine today.
Yes.
Yes, you will not be fine today. I think for me, so I'm going to have restraint, and I'm not going to talk about Ninja Turtles. There was a 4K remaster that came out, and so I have thoughts, but I won't talk about that. What I want to talk about is, I have brought up on this show before, there was a comic series, like a short 4 or 5 issue called Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees. And it's about a serial killer in a small town animal village or Animal Crossing type village. And there's now a sequel series that is, I think the 5th issue comes out in like a few days, and then there's one more after that. And it is a sequel. It takes place 8 years later, and it is somebody investigating one of the murders from the first series.
Oh,
and I was really intrigued at how they were going to do a follow-up about a serial killer without it just being more of them killing people, because the first series is there's a serial killer, and as far as they know, they're the only person around there who kills people, and then a dead body turns up that they didn't do, and so that's the drama of the first one, is just like, who the hell else is out here killing people? I need to figure this out before they draw too much attention and get me discovered. And then this one is, oh, that person's trying to discover me. Can I play with it? Can I like push them and nudge them toward it? Or can I nudge them towards someone else so they don't suspect me? And yeah, it's just, it's really interesting and really good. And again, it's just that weirdness of these are all cute talking animals who are doing this. But yeah, that was mine that I've been reading and really enjoying. But yeah, that's my thing. So before we get into the quiz part of this show, where can people find you online?
You can find me at omithrandir on pretty much everywhere. Blue Sky, Instagram, mostly for travel for Instagram. And still on Twitter, primarily because people on Blue Sky don't give a crap about football. And that's what I've been making tweets about, and how the Tokyo Toe is robbed. And nobody thought that was funny, but he was. I don't know how you have 100% and don't win the best kicker award.
A fair question.
His pants were too long.
Yeah.
You can find me at buttwyther.net. I told you all, I will see you next year.
I deleted my social media apps, so read me online, and you can follow me on Letterboxd, at least, I guess, Jason Flat 59.
I remember when you tried to make a Blue Sky account, and I really thought you were a bot.
Yeah, I know. Well, Blue Sky doesn't let you use underscores, so they lost me. Sorry.
Yeah,
that's fair. And you can find me on Blue Sky at most always Alex, and that's pretty much the only place I'm active.
Oh, so to be fair, sorry to interrupt. I did find out from Discord I'm in the top 0.06% of all users.
Yeah, how did you swing that?
Like, I have no idea. I have almost 70,000 messages this year.
That's so many.
I'm not surprised. I feel like you are a heavy Discord user.
It is. It's funny because, like, I told people because I think, I do not even use my phone for text messaging. At this point, I send more Discord. If I text you through my phone, that means something bad has happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a group chat with my friends that is labeled, like, I think it's labeled, like, this is a great chat, but Discord me. Because people in that group of friends were like, hey, I know that this is useful for organizing, but also it gets inundated and I hate looking at my phone and seeing like 40 missed messages. So how about we use Discord for organizing? And this is for like announcements and crisis.
I did not check my Discord Wrapped. I'm not interested in knowing how many messages I've sent in the 1.5 channels I use, but I am really looking forward to my annual Washington Metro Authority Wrapped that'll tell me how many miles I went on the trains and buses in the last year. It's truly like, it's a joy for all of us that live in the DC area. I'm competitive with my friends about how much more I use the train than them.
Wow. I like
that's
this.
How progressive you are. You track how much public transportation you use. No, I found on the Delta subreddit, which is a place I go now, that there is like a specific passport app that iPhone users have that they can connect to their Delta accounts, and it tracks like where they've gone, how many miles, how loyal they were to like
cool.
which airlines and stuff like that. But it's Apple only and I hate it.
That's yeah.
But if I had Apple, it would be cool.
It's one of those things where like we just did a whole episode on this, and it's when you know that you're opting into it and you're choosing it, then the data mining is kind of fun. And that's something where it's like, if you travel a lot, that's cool to see. Like, I would want to know that. Getting into the trivia, as of today, and this, now I did see some conflicting reports on these first two questions, so we can get into it. But as of today, what is the top grossing film in the U.S. for 2025? And I have multiple choice options if you want
them. Is it this only domestically or globally?
So this one is just the U.S.
So we're looking for only domestically highest grossing film.
Yeah.
Okay. It's whatever that Wicked. Terrible, what's it called? The
Zootopia.
The fake, no, the other Disney movie, the live action shitty one.
Lilo and Stitch.
There we go, that one.
So here's the thing. For good.
It is, surprisingly, Minecraft.
Oh, I forgot that came out this year. I forgot that.
Chicken Jockey!
Yeah, it's. I did have Lilo and Stitch and Wicked for good as some of the multiple choice options, should you need them. But yeah, apparently, like, Minecraft is still just number one in the
U.S. So I believe that because everybody destroyed theaters for,
oh yeah,
like,
the meme alone, which, yeah. Can we talk about that? Of, like, how is just trashing a theater and throwing popcorn
not,
like...
Like, okay, so, like, there are levels to this, but there has been an erosion of theater behavior that, yep. Like, I need these children to stop.
You can get punched at a movie theater.
Yes, yes. More people should fight each other in theaters. I have seen one of the leaders in the Awesome Film Critics Association kick the back of a man's chair because he wouldn't put his phone up after told twice, and on the third time he kicked the back of the seat. That man looked back like he was going to do something, and all this person did was just tilt his head, and then he put his phone away and didn't pull it back out. But Wicked also did, like, they did not destroy movie theaters, but they did encourage everybody to take their phones out and take pictures, which every time I see a friend...
That's a nightmare.
...post a picture of their theater screen, I want to disown them.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, for me, it's not even... phone use in general, bad. Taking pictures of the screen, not great. For me, the big sin is when you have your brightness up all the way.
Yeah.
And I've been in theaters where that happens, and I'm like, I want to scream. Like, this person thinks that no one else sees this. It wasn't even a theater. I was at a concert. Venue's like pitch black. Dude next to me, phone on full brightness, also not in dark mode. just full white with black
text.
Light mode is fine, okay? Burning his retinas out in a dark venue.
We quit calling people out for using light mode.
Not in a dark venue.
Yeah, in a dark venue is where I take issue with it. If people want to use light mode, that's fine. But it's like you are sitting in a black room.
Yes, you can.
You can't.
Yes, you can.
You can set it to do it automatically.
Yes, my phone automatically does it after 6 p.m. because it assumes anywhere I go is going to be dark.
I don't believe it. Also, the only thing...
I can't believe you had Game Boy SP for a cell phone.
I do. It's great.
But what makes me mad about the whole chicken jockey and other stuff is... They banned people for dressing up to watch Minions, and then we allowed everybody to destroy movie theaters.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's a good point.
Here's my different opinion, though. The first time I went to see it, I walked out halfway through because I thought the movie was so stupid, and I yelled at the teenage boys who were just talking the whole time. Like, they weren't doing the participation thing. They were just talking the whole time. And I yelled at them, and then I left because I couldn't take it anymore, and the movie sucked. However... And, like, I'm someone that will call people out all of the time in theaters. I literally was, like, I was in a full theater the other week, and this man was on his phone the entire time. I clocked exactly who he was in the front row, and then when we were on the bathroom line at the end, I yelled at him about it, and he was like, it wasn't me, I swear. It was him, and we all knew it. I have no problem yelling at somebody about bullshit at a movie theater. However, the second time I went to see Minecraft with a bunch of friends, and everyone, like all the kids and whatever,
why are you
doing
seeing
this
movie twice? Let
alone
once.
Walked out of it the first time.
You're the reason it's number one. This movie was awful.
No, and because
we're getting a number two movie.
And so I went again with friends, and there's a bunch of people like doing the call and response dumb stuff about chicken jockeys and whatever, and actually had a great time because people were just like engaging with the movie, which was really different than the first time when kids were just talking, and no one was throwing popcorn.
So like more of like a Rocky Horror
thing. This was like
long
enough after the first week of it. And so it was actually like, it was just a fun time. No one was making a mess. No one was being obnoxious. They were just doing the thing. And that's when I was like, actually like, This is a great experience that people are having, and like it's different obviously than when kids are making a mess and being obnoxious. And I think that theaters probably learned the mistake from the like we should ban the kids from wearing suits, and said like, if we just embrace this the correct way of like, we will throw you out if you make a mess, but if you're just participating and having a good time and everyone knows that those are doing, then who cares?
I also think there need to be designated screenings for that, because I don't want to fucking listen to somebody talk like that. Yeah. And a lot more companies are doing that, like talkback screenings and stuff like that, where you're encouraged to like have reactions.
They did a sing-along version basically where they put chicken jockey on the screen when it was time for everyone to yell it.
Oh my god. But yes, like that's smart. That it gets people involved. I can avoid it like the plague. But I do think that that's the difference between like a theater, like an actual like communal experience, which like I think I get a lot at like film festivals, except for that one lady who like was playing Candy Crush during like a Saoirse Ronan like depressing addict movie. And then you have like Evil Dead, where everybody was like completely engaged, screaming, yelling, like reacting in like a way tied to the film.
Right.
Like those are different.
And it's
hard
to figure out what's like, when is it going to actually be the right version and when is it going to be the wrong version when you're just showing up?
That's why I go to Draft House and I kick people out.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the way
there
to do
there
it.
Are definitely those safeguards, which thank goodness. I support the concept. Just has to go the right. It has to be the right time and place.
Yes.
And the right kind of behavior.
Exactly.
I support none of it. Next question.
Same question, broader scope. What's the top grossing film globally?
Nausea 2.
It is. Where this is weird is that when I looked it up, I saw a couple articles that were like, Zootopia 2 is now top grossing. It's number 2 behind Nausea 2.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
And I was like, why? And I was like, why are we framing this as top grossing? Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Like, that's the answer.
But I thought that was interesting that it's like, oh, we're going to frame this as like the top grossing film has to be from an American company, has to be an American.
Well, it's also
like, no,
bullshit,
it's
too, because almost every single critics ballot that has come out has not had Nausea 2 as a part of their top animation. And it's absolute bullshit because, it's an amazing movie.
It had a U.S. theatrical run.
It had two. It had two theatrical runs. It had one when it first came out, second when A24 bought the distribution rights. And on top of that, it is literally like the best-selling animated film of all time. Not just this year.
Yeah.
Of all time. And it's really good.
I agree with the frustration. It's really annoying, and I wish it was on more ballots. The one piece of fairness is that the movie is not qualifying for the Oscars, which means that A24 has not been soliciting it to critics whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't catch it while it was in theaters, you haven't been able to get a link or a screener to see it.
Yes, you
so like
have.
I haven't been able to
see
it because
I do know for both of my critics' works, they did send it out.
Oh, they did not to mine, and that there was sucks. Not a. It was not in the physical screener package that they sent out, and there was never a link either to us. So,
oh yeah,
in
no,
DC,
we got.
So like we weren't yeah. able. I haven't been able to see it still.
Well, it's great. It's amazing.
I know. I wish. Also,
that's what
also
I hear.
Because of the whole, this is like a stupid thing about American centricism is that because there was two different versions of the movie with an English dub, there's a lot of websites that have been counting them separately, just because mm-hmm. they're technically like separate releases, and so it's made it harder to get that information correct.
That's probably
that
why I saw that Zootopia 2 headline.
Yeah, xenophobia is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch the first one on Netflix at least
yeah.
in the meantime until the second one I'm sure comes sooner than later.
And then use that to launch yourself into exploring the really great world of Chinese animation. If you want a list, there's one on butwhytho.net.
Heck yeah.
Go check it out. So last money centric question, and I'll give you the options. We're talking not both dollar and percentage. What streaming service hiked their prices the most this year? Was it Disney, Netflix, HBO, or Apple?
I think it's HBO. No, because HBO did their stuff last year, didn't they?
Apple.
I'm going with some. What wasn't Apple?
I just know they hiked it a lot.
I know, but I'm trying to think what, because Disney's also hiked it a lot. I'm going to go with ESPN, because that counts as Disney.
It was Apple. So Apple Wrong. Raised the price by $3, which was a 30% increase. HBO, or sorry, Disney increased their ad-free one also by $3, but it was more expensive to begin with, so it wasn't the same percentage jump.
Oh, okay, so we're talking about percentage jump.
Yeah, well,
okay.
So both, it, yeah. And then Disney hiked their ad tier $2, which was a 20% increase. HBO actually, like you said, because they did all their stuff last year, looks the most reasonable.
Yeah, because HBO did a crazy one, but I was like, I thought that was before.
Yeah, this year they raised prices by $1, $1.50, and $2. And the biggest jump of those is a 10% price increase.
Yeah, because I think Netflix and HBO were like either last year or year before, and Disney had one this year. The real actual winner or slash loser is ESPN, and that is the the ESPN.
What did they do with all theirs?
So basically, ESPN now does all their stuff like $30 a month for all of ESPN, and so like they have the ESPN Plus thing. Which is fine, but you don't get much. And so basically they kind of got a lot of that ESPN Plus, which I don't remember what that got raised to. And so now it's like $30 a month for all of ESPN.
Hmm.
Which I guess you could argue didn't exist before, but also $30.
You mean
for
like ESPN's only ESPN Plus is just the streaming things versus you can pay for the things that are also on.
Yeah, so basically they have ESPN Plus, gotcha. Which is basically garbage. And then they have ESPN Unlimited, which was introduced and basically why they went to war with YouTube. To get people to play that, which is all the ESPN networks, and which is all part of, obviously, within Disney, and which then Hulu probably pretty much dead, and now you can buy the bundle of all of that.
Yeah. HBO also started rolling out the thing that Netflix does where you can't share your account anymore, and so screw them for that, too.
Oh, they did start that this year. Okay. It hasn't hit me yet.
It hasn't hit most people I know, but it hit me, and I'm upset about it.
Bummer. Yeah.
I will not be paying. That is for sure.
No.
Amazon, you know, the biggest, actually, no, the real things. Wizard, to be fair, I don't know if we can put a price on this one. Amazon rolling out ads in their movies.
Oh, my God, yes.
On Amazon
Prime,
that or
was
Prime
brutal.
Video is by far the worst thing in history. And I think that one they've released.
This year? God.
Yeah. Do you want to know why it's the worst thing in history, though? Because we'll be sitting there and an ad will come up and somebody on this podcast will yell, broke, at the TV. You can assume who it is.
For people like me who watch things on their laptops a good amount, I recommend installing an extension on your browser that lets you change the speed of videos, because then you can just turn the ads to times 9 speed and then they're over in 2 seconds.
All right. I might have to do that. That's a good tip.
That's my secret for skipping ads.
So that could be one thing. One bullshit. We have ads from Prime TV or Prime Video or whatever. Especially if you're like, okay, let's say I'm watching like Fallout. Okay, that's new. Or you know, I'm watching like, you know, Reacher. Let's say we watch like one of their new weird movies they have them out. But you can pull up like a 1985 movie and then you get like four ads. And I'm like, why do I have ads in this?
Yeah, this movie's been paid for multiple times over. I pulled one up the other day that had nine ad breaks in it. It was an old movie.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, watching 1994 movies and I got ads. And I'm like, why?
I closed it on Amazon and opened it on a different app that had fewer ads.
I already
ads.
Have to pay for you to access this movie and now you're giving me ads and it's not even like a new movie. Yeah. You didn't even produce the movie. You didn't even make the movie. You didn't even exist when this movie was made.
So far, it sounds like the year's been pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, so far. So this next one is, it's going to start good, and then we're going to talk about it, and it's going to get bad again, because that's 2025. So Clair Obscur won Game of the Year and was originally praised as being the product of 30 people, which turned out to be very not true. Part of the headcount included 8 animators from what country?
France?
Romania.
Oh, wait.
I'm going to go with New Zealand.
Ukraine.
It was South Korea.
Oh.
But it was this whole thing of like, first there's the danger of like, let's talk about this as if you only need 30 people to make the Game of the Year was like part one of that conversation that was bad. And then, you know, erasing the work of the other people.
Which, okay.
But it just.
Sorry.
Yeah, continue. Go for it. Oh, no, I just was going to say like the thing that bugged me about the Clair Obscur conversation was that it like you're giving people with decision-making abilities wrong information that they only need to pay 30 people to make something on that scale.
I don't agree.
Interesting. Go on.
So I do agree in concept. However, the only game this year that credited its co-developers was Battlefield 6. Battlefield 6 listed every single studio that worked on that game. Okay. Madden didn't. NCAA didn't. All of the big AAA games, and I know this because I used to work at a co-dev studio, are made, most ports of a game are not done by the proper studio.
Oh yeah, that's never in-house.
They're done by dev. They're done by co-devs. A lot of multiplayer sections of games are done by co-dev. So this, we notice it because it happened with Clair Obscur and you're like, oh, you're treating like an indie darling. It was only 300 people. It's like, yeah. And you are acting like this other game was made by 300 people when really it was worked on contract by 3,000. Mm. And so like there is a larger issue. And so like it is not necessarily that I disagree with the sentiment. I disagree that this is the only way we're having this conversation, because there are a lot of co-development studios that are doing hard work making these video games, and the video games that you play are only available because of them, but they are not actually getting the call outs in the reviews. They're not actually being seen. So like, cool, every journalist and their mother had something to say about it for Claire. Who did you list as the developers in your CFB review, right? Like, who did you list as the developers in your Battlefield review or your Call of Duty review?
No, that's, I mean, that's a good point, because it really does come down to, like, how do you, like, what constitutes accurate reporting about how many people worked on something?
Exactly.
Can we just keep, like, we're going to go better? Can we talk about how code dev studios probably shouldn't exist for the most part? And basically, a lot of them are just used so they can underpay labor so that the main studio does not have to pay actual price salaries.
That is also a thing that happens.
Yeah.
It's why they were the last hit when it came to layoffs.
In all entertainment industries.
Well, I'm saying we have a nice fancy word for it in gaming, when in reality, you're no different than you were just basically outsourced. We like it better because
it's outsourcing.
It sucks because, like, I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying, like, it sucks that they exist because most of their functions existing so that the main studio doesn't have to pay main.
I mean, it's
salaries.
Like how many tech companies and game companies have that internal hierarchy of like, what color is your badge? Are you a contractor or a permanent staff member? Like, Nintendo has it. Intel has it. Like, it's just this weird thing of, oh, we're going to contract, we're going to outsource, we're going to do all this other stuff, all to save cost. And then while also reinforcing, like, what is ultimately a toxic internal culture of, like, well, your badge is blue, not red, therefore you're less than me.
And then it leads to the depreciation of, like, whole sections of the development community. Yep. So the majority of audio engineers, there's ever, most of the time, a studio of, say, like, 250 people will have one audio engineer. And then they outsource all the rest of their audio work. But they have the one that will like manage the contractors or manage, like get on the call to talk with the co-dev studio. Same thing with artists. A lot of artists in game dev specifically right now, because they've all been fucking fired, work on contract basis, on contract basis, bases. They all work on a contract basis with a lot of development studios. Engineers are not going through the same struggle, but a lot of these co-development studios are only made up of engineers because they think that that is the only thing that gets a game going. It's a big thing. It's not the only thing. And then QA has historically had it worse. So it's just, it's weird. I don't like the Clair Obscur conversation, because I think that it makes a giant problem in games look like it is only happening with this one indie studio. And you only care because you lauded this game for being good. Right. And we don't care when else it happens.
There's plenty of bad games that were the product of 30 people, and we don't talk about that.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Moving to a question that I think will bring everyone a little bit more joy.
We still don't like the French, though.
I do.
That's fine.
No.
Nope.
Cowards, right? That's the whole thing.
There we go.
Yeah.
Freedom prize.
The Super Bowl halftime show ended with what phrase depicted in lights?
Got milk.
I have multiple choice options if you want them.
I don't remember because that feels like a decade ago.
I know. Was it not like us? Turn off the TV, game over, or A minor?
I think it's
turn
A minor.
Turn off the TV.
No, it was, it was C.
Yeah, it was game over.
Okay.
A minor was, I think that was more
it's what
one of those moments
yelled.
Where,
you
that felt was, it.
That was the moment when they turned the mics down and everyone in the stadium screamed it.
It's that, and it's just, the thing from that, there's a lot of elements of that performance that were iconic and great. The thing that is burned into my brain is the look at the camera at, hey, Drake, I hear you like him young. Like, just the, like, he knew exactly what he was doing and was so, like, smug and shitty about it in the best possible way.
No, it was.
And I loved it.
It was very
more good. People need to be bullied more. Exactly.
I will say, though, like, this is really the year of the hater. Not all, but, like, I love that Kendrick wasn't as high as it got. Like, the new bar for hating someone is 50 Cent.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? I didn't put any Diddy questions on here.
No, like,
so now's the time.
Diddy needs to be buried under the jail. And the person making sure that he is 50 Cent. Like, that man made a whole ass documentary. And I don't know if you all have seen his interviews. And they ask him why he did that. He's like, it's because he's a villain. And I'm like, oh my God. So I
love that.
Yes. Three cheers for rap bringing back beef again. Three cheers for being bigger, and another three for pointing out that Sean P. Diddy Combs is not only a sex pest who deserves the worst thing to happen to him in life, but also killed Tupac, officially, per the documentary.
Thank God Woke is dead so that we can bully people again.
Oh my God. Exactly. The year of the bully.
That's the episode title, 2025, Thank God Woke is Dead.
Man.
Charging. It'll bring in a lot of clicks.
Not great. Next question.
Yeah, next question. True or false, after the CEO and head of HR for Astronomer were caught on the Kiss Cam at a Coldplay concert, the company Astronomer paid Chris Martin's ex-wife Gwyneth Paltrow to do an ad for them.
True.
Which, contextually, Chris Martin being the lead singer of Coldplay.
Going true.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, this is an actual thing that happened. I had to look it up because I was like, that can't possibly be real. But that whole thing happened, and then like they were like, screw it, we're gonna capitalize on this, and they paid Gwyneth Paltrow to do an ad. I still don't really understand what they do as a company, but I thought that was just like a fun,
nobody knows what
moment.
Half the companies that do. Can somebody still explain to me what does Salesforce do?
Okay, that one's a little easier to explain.
Is it?
So you need two things for business, Matt. You need sales and you need force. And what
Salesforce
does is it brings them together in a synergistic model for decentralized activation of agents.
It's a CRM.
I'm a CEO. I still don't know what Salesforce does. Anyway, moving on.
Yes, exactly. I'm with you. Let's go.
It's a candidate management system. You put them in there. It stores the information.
I can do that with Excel, Kate. I can do that with Excel.
No, but that means you have to teach people how to use Excel.
And Excel has a bad user interface.
Yes.
Compared to Salesforce?
Yes.
Oh.
Salesforce is pretty good.
Yes. Salesforce is, I like Salesforce.
You people are the wrong, what's wrong with society? All right. Top people over here, me and Alex, do not appreciate Salesforce people at the bottom.
Next question. Sabrina Carpenter's new album, Man's Best Friend, drew early backlash over what component? Was it the album cover, the producer, Jack Antonoff, the song titles, or the lyrics?
I thought it was because she did the alpha, God damn it.
She alphabetized the alphabet.
The songs are alphabetical. That was what got her backlash. No, yeah, it was the album cover.
Because fucking children are Puritans now.
Yeah. And it went to the point that she made a second album cover for the people who didn't want the first one. But what I thought was interesting was reading about it and how she was like,
smart because that way she just still made even more money.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really what she did it for. But it's stupid that it had to happen.
It's stupid because in reading her talking about the album, she was like, yeah, this was more like an album that was kind of like critical and self, like it was me reflecting on things. And so it was like, people jumped to this conclusion of like, oh, this is XYZ message. And that wasn't the point of the album at all. And it's because people, you know, the album wasn't out yet. Media literacy's dead. And yeah, but.
Well, like the funnier thing about that too, is like, she did an interview about how long it took them to find a man for the cover because all the ones that she had would actually not pull her hair right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Stupid men.
So my only fun fact about Sabrina Carpenter is when I do not listen to videos with sound at all, despite watching many videos or being forced to watch many videos. And so everybody knew what Espresso was because it was a big thing between a lot of like when that came out of like all this stuff. And then they heard it and I was like, I have no idea what this song is. And Kate would be like, but I literally sent you videos with this. And I'm like, I literally don't listen to sound. And so everybody thought I was crazy because the amount of stuff that I've watched where they had Espresso playing, and I had no idea what it even sounded like.
And you're like, this is news to me.
Your side, though. I don't really listen to, I don't usually watch videos with sound either.
I don't like watching videos. If I do, I don't put sound on. And if I can't figure it out from there, then I just don't watch the video.
I will mute it if it is just some played out TikTok sound that I've heard 1,000 times, because that will ruin songs so fast.
And this is why you can't. And this is why you can't find Matt and I online.
Exactly. I was like, I don't listen to music or sound. I listen to music, not sound.
Yes. All right. You can tell a real Labubu by its teeth.
Yes, you can. There are nine. There are nine teeth.
Kate got it very. There are nine teeth.
So we have a friend, okay, who wanted to buy his husband a Labubu as a surprise. And he's like, I found a cheap one on this, like a Temu looking thing bought one. And he was so excited. And we were like, yo, you bought a fake one. And he's like, what do you mean there's fake ones? And they're like, what do you? And he got this like weird, and he bought one. It was cheap. And like, they're not that cheap. He's like, but I thought it was great. And he got one. The teeth were messed up. The head popped off and everything.
No. The head did not pop off. The head spun around 360 degrees like the
Exorcist. My bad. It stayed on. It just kind of looked like an owl.
Now, Kate, as someone who has a real one, do you see that as a feature or as a bug?
I see that as a feature. It'd be so fun.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Where no, I was like, I know the real ones don't do it, but that's fun.
I have to like control myself when we go to the corner store in our neighborhood because they have lafufus, or what I assume are lafufus. I apologize that I don't have great faith in the Mexican supermarket next to us, but historically, those are not real.
What do you mean, Listeria with the ice cream?
Yes, but they have lafufus. And I want to buy one every single time, and they're $19.99. And I'm like, girl, that is wrong. I have not bought one
yet.
But
it's so tempting.
But I want to. Also, sad thing, if anybody listening to this has any, like, tips for cleaning your Labubu, please send me, because it's been all through the worlds this year. It's very well loved.
But a little worse for wear.
A little bit.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe the bright pink one was not what I should have done. But yes, you can count their teeth. The direction that the feet paced, whether face, and whether or not the tag has a QR code that takes you to the Pop Mart website that gives you the serial number for your the boo boo.
Or if the head pops off or spins
or if
around.
Your head pops off. Oh, or one of the other funny things is that some of the Lafufus, you can pull the hair back and it's just like bald doll head.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't want that. That sounds bad.
Yeah. But Lufufus have found like their own life and love from a lot of people. So.
Yeah.
But yes, sure. You can tell it because of the teeth.
All right. Next question. In 2025, Beyonce finally won her first album of the year at the Grammys. Which of these awards did she also win? And there are two correct answers in here.
Best country.
So yeah, song of the year, country album of the year, best Americana performance, and best country duo performance.
I think it was country album of the year and best song of no, it wasn't song of the year. Americana performance, maybe? I only know one of these. I don't pay attention.
Jason,
to the
any
games.
Guesses?
I don't know. Maybe she won the duo with Dolly Parton.
It was album of the country album of the year and best duo performance, but I think it was with Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember this.
But she was nominated for all four of those and a bunch of others. But yeah, big year for her. Getting two album of the year awards at one award show is like, that has to feel really good.
No, the best thing about Texas Hold'em is that it's given me moments where when a bunch of coastal white people complain that we're talking about us, that we're singing a song at karaoke about Texas, I get to say, so you're gonna argue with Beyonce. And then they shut up. And it's fantastic.
That does sound like that would feel good.
Proud Texan. And which I never used to be. And then people just started being terrible. And by terrible, I mean sequestered in their like racist coastal areas.
Yeah. That tracks. Keeping on the theme of country music, Morgan Wallen was special guest on SNL and walked off stage basically as soon as he possibly could and posted what phrase on Instagram?
No idea, but he needs his ass beat. That's all I fucking
He wants to go home or something. It was
he
like,
wants to get him back to God's country.
Yeah, there
yeah,
we
get
go.
Me to God's country.
I was like, it's something about going
that
back.
That is so stupid.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah,
well,
I remember,
no, what was stupid was
home,
it was a picture of a private jet with get me to God's country. Like, he's so down to earth.
Did we ever discover what it was? Was it like Bowen Yang just got a little too close to him and he felt like he was catching the cooties?
I have no idea.
No idea.
I have no idea. He's like a really big... He's a racist so big that fucking Hayley Williams has a song about him.
Yeah. No, he's terrible.
And are saying names.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
Hayley Williams is the woman who fronted Paramore and has been doing music on her own. And there is a song where she specifically says, I'm the most famous person in this racist man's country bar. Because she's from Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The whole, like, why go
God's
on SNL
country?
If this is how you're going to feel about it? Is, I think, where I got stuck.
And
also,
I still think
SNL's
about that phrase
never changed.
Regularly.
Get me to God's country?
Yeah, I think about it basically every time I'm like, I feel a small indignation.
Just something slightly inconvenient at a grocery store. And Jason's just picturing his private jet to leave.
Exactly.
For God's country.
Get me back to God's country.
Next question.
I'm trying to see if there's any more that are going to continue this upward trajectory or if there are the rest of these are bummers. Here's what was the password for the Louvre surveillance system?
Password. Or no, the Louvre.
It was just Louvre.
Yeah, Louvre. I was like, I couldn't remember what password it was. Louvre.
Yeah, that came out a few days later. They're like, they've changed it since. But part
now
of
now it's the Louvre one.
Successful.
Or the Louvre exclamation point.
Yeah.
The Louvre spelled
the O
backwards.
Is a zero.
Right. Yeah. Just what an incredible fun moment of levity that was when that happened. We're like, nobody was actually upset. Everyone was like, wait, someone robbed the Louvre. And then every detail that came out was just more and more of a Scooby-Doo ass robbery.
Beautiful. Incredible. I wish them the best.
Right. And they succeeded.
And also pointing out how easy it is to rob stuff. Like the movies we watch are actually closer to reality, y'all.
Right, where someone's like, that would never work. You can't just put on a red vest and walk behind the counter and it's
no,
like,
that's
no,
why the
can't.
Good movies realize they know that the easiest way to rob something is literally just human error.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the forklift company, or like the ladder company, used it as an advertisement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In minutes, about how long was Katy Perry's space flight?
13.
11.
17.
It was 11.
Ah.
Yeah.
Imagine, though.
What else? While everyone is raising the price on their consoles this year, who also decided to shrink the hard drive size on their console?
At this point, everybody? Including PCs at this point?
I think PlayStation did.
It was PlayStation. Yeah. It went from 1 terabyte to 825 gigs.
They would
never
do anything wrong from what I've been told.
Right? They're flawless. And then last question, and this is a bummer just when you think about the implications for the industry. True or false, Skyrim got ported to Switch 2.
True.
False.
Yeah. We still don't have Elder Scrolls 6, but Skyrim got another fucking port.
Dang. I like
that you're like, and this is the bummer one.
I thought it was going to be false, and that was a sign that things are bad in the industry, because it is a hallowed tradition that Skyrim must be ported, and it finally wasn't, and now things are going downhill.
I think it's bad, because why are they still re-releasing that instead of putting out the new game?
Because
new
still people are buying it. Why are people buying it still?
I hate it so much.
Because imagine little Timmy got his first gaming console, and now he gets to play Skyrim.
Nobody likes Timmy anyways.
That's why he needs his gaming console.
He needs those virtual friends.
If Timmy got a Switch too, he's sure he can find a better game than port of Skyrim.
No, because they cost $80.
So does the port of Skyrim. Every Nintendo game
is it really
game
that expensive?
Yeah, every Nintendo game costs $80.
It probably does. Who knows?
I hate that. I have a Switch too.
I haven't bought a single game because I don't want to spend the money on.
That's why I don't have a Switch.
I got the Mario Kart that came with mine.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
It is a free update. Upgrade if you bought the Switch edition.
Oh, free upgrade. Okay. Good for
that. That is a little bit better, because one of the things that I'm sick of seeing is like, game comes out on PS4, PS5 gets an enhanced version, and instead of just bumping people up, it's, do you have $10?
Right. All of the other Switch 2 upgrades cost money.
Yeah. And yeah, I was saying Nintendo's doing the same thing, but yeah, the whole idea of like $10 for like a texture pack and maybe like one more vehicle added to the game, I don't know. But yeah, that was trivia for the year. I feel like that was a good encapsulation of 2025 to me.
Yeah.
For better and for worse. But yeah, I had a good time. That does it for this week. If you listening at home want more, we do have it. But Why Though is on Blue Sky at butwhytho.net. And you can subscribe to our newsletter, which is free, or donate, which costs money, by going to the site butwhytho.net/support. There's links to both of those. Both of them help us immensely. So do what you can. We really appreciate it.
We also have a holiday sale going on for this.
Oh, we have a holiday sale. Okay, good to know. There's a sale right now.
Yeah, 60% off all 60% off all annual subscriptions, which gives you
beautiful
exclusive newsletter and ad-free experience, other stuff.
Nice. And yeah, and everything that you give just goes towards keeping the site running, keeping the lights on, letting us pay our writers, all that good stuff. Kate, Matt, Jason, thank you so much for joining me and for working on this podcast with me the whole year. It's always a good time. Good talking with you all, and thank you at home for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for carrying us on your backs, Alex.
Listen,
I think sometimes I'm being carried is how it feels.
Rest in peace, woke.
2025, rest now, my brother. We have the watch. We'll see you in Valhalla.